We need to do this. We need to do this. Children need to be taught the Bible. Finally, number three. Again, this is so obvious. Who? So we have why, when, and who. Who should teach their kids first? Who's the first and the primarily responsible? Good job. Parents, especially the father. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 6? Fathers, do not push your children to be angry, but bring them up in the direction of the Lord in the Bible. It's a direct command. Okay, we just read in Deuteronomy chapter 6. What does that say? It says, make sure you teach your kids this, and make sure you have them teach their kids, and then their kids and their kids. Put these truths around your neck. Put them on your doorpost. Make sure everywhere you see, everywhere you walk, everything that you do, your kids are being reminded of the Bible. So important. Put posters on your wall. Go to CBD or so. Go to online and go get some Bible scripture posters and put it on their walls. Do what you need to do. Parents, teaching children the Bible in their home, whether actively sitting down with them and opening the Bible and teaching them, or living it out. What's this phrase? More is caught than taught. They will catch your lifestyle more than what you teach. There's another phrase. What you do speaks so loudly I can't hear what you're saying. It's true, isn't it? It's true. Living the Bible out. So we have the parents. We also have other Christians, people in the church body. Right now, in the fireside room, what's going on? Karen Johnson and Jenny, her daughter, I believe, are with the kids. Some of them are your kids right now in children's church. Don't look at that as a babysitting time so that you can enjoy service here in peace away from your kids. No, don't discount that. That's more important almost than here, is it not? Awana is coming around the corner. VBS starts tomorrow. And all week long. Breakaway. Sunday night SNL. Sunday Night Live. This is all stuff that our church here offers to help our community here bring up our children in the ways of the Bible and obeying God's word. It all works together. Parents, and this is how it works, folks. It's parents are the primary responsible people here, right? But when you drop off your kids or you bring your kids to Awana, bring them to Sunday school, or bring them to, let them go to children's church, you're delegating responsibility to the teachers, other people in the church. Okay? You're still responsible as parents, but you're letting them teach, perhaps possibly a different way, or maybe they have better giftings than you do. That's how it works. You know, I like to think of it this way. I thought about it this week. It's like a team. And then I thought another step further. I said, I think God designed teamwork. It's discipleship. You have a coach, somebody in charge teaching. God designed it. Isn't that neat? How many of you went to Sunday school growing up? Okay. How many of you went to VBS at some point growing up? Does anybody remember your teacher from either Sunday school or Vacation Bible School? Any teacher? Okay. We had a lady, I think this was here her first time this morning. She was in the first service. She's visiting. She's vacationing. Anyway, it doesn't matter to you all. But anyway, she came up to me after the sermon, and she said, I just want to tell you, right here, she said, I grew up in a pseudo-Christian home, and I didn't really follow God. I ended up living a wild life. And I went to college, sophomore in college, and God got a hold of me. And she said, and what got me back was a song that I learned in Vacation Bible School. She says, a silly little song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a... There you go. Hello. We got it. We don't forget these things. Do you think the kids this week that are going to be here are going to forget this week that's coming up? We need to be praying for the workers. We need to be praying for the kids. I'd love to see a group of people praying in the fireside room while there's teaching going on downstairs. Some of you that aren't involved with Vacation Bible School, maybe you got a free day this week. Come on in and pray. Pray for the leaders. Pray for the kids. It's an awesome opportunity, and it's a great responsibility. How many of you remember an adult when you were younger that said something negatively to you? Or a friend that said something negatively to you? And a number of hands still go up, yeah. And I'm sure if you thought about it, you would come up with, most of you would come up with something. Well, that wouldn't happen in church. No, no, no. Do you really think that the kids that are walking back and forth in the lobby and in the cafe, do you think they're not listening to us adults talking and picking up little things here and there and how the adults are talking? If they can remember scenes or words from a movie song, Frozen and stuff like that, and they all sing these songs, I'm sure they can hear what we're talking about. I'm going to play a clip for you. It's from an app on my phone that we'll get it going here. I think that was it. Does this mean keep talking me, or there we go. About 2 minutes.
Today
long.
We're going to talk about what is at the heart of children's ministry. Now, to begin with, I want to share a story with you that I heard a number of years ago. I'm actually looking at an article, and I'm going to read it to you. And it simply says this: I saw him in the church building for the first time on Wednesday. He was in his mid-70s with thinning silver hair and a neat brown suit. Many times in the past, I had invited him to come. Several other Christian friends had talked to him about the Lord and had tried to share the good news with him. He was a well-respected, honest man with so many characteristics of a Christian that one should have, but he never gave his life to Christ, and he never entered the doors of the church. Have you ever been to church in your life? I asked him a few years ago. We had just finished a pleasant day of visiting and talking. He hesitated. Then with a bitter smile, he told me of a childhood experience some 50 years earlier. He was one of many children in a large, poor family. His parents had struggled to provide food with little left for housing or clothing. He was about 10 years old, and some neighbors invited him to worship with them. The Sunday school class had been very exciting. He had never heard such songs and stories before. He had never heard anyone read from the Bible. After class was over, the teacher took him aside and said, "Son, please don't come again dressed the way you are now. We want to look our best when we come into God's house." He stood in his ragged, unpatched overalls. Then looking at his dirty bare feet, he answered softly, "No, ma'am, I won't, ever." "And I never did," he said, as abruptly as he began, stopping our conversation. There must have been other factors to have hardened him so, but this experience formed a significant part of the bitterness in his heart. I'm sure that that Sunday school teacher meant well, but did she really understand the love of Christ? Had she studied and accepted the teaching found in the second chapter of James? What if she had put her arms around that dirty, ragged little boy and said, "Son, I am so glad you're here, and I hope you will come every chance you get to hear more about Jesus." "Yes, I saw him in the church house for the first time on Wednesday. And as I looked at that immaculately dressed old gentleman lying in his casket, I thought of that little boy long ago. I could almost hear him say, 'No, ma'am, I won't, ever.' And I wept." Now that's an article written by a lady named Shirley Ward.
Do you think the things that you say just go by without people and kids especially picking up on that stuff? One negative comment changed a man's heart for eternity. Think about the positive comments that could have happened. We need to pray for our teachers this week, VBS workers, that we just love all over these kids that are here this week. So as we close, let's bring it right down. Parents, how are you doing in this area? Parents-to-be, how are you doing? Grandparents, you have an opportunity to assist your children with their children, your grandkids. How are you doing in your little realm of responsibility? Children's ministry workers, are you digging into the Bible, making sure that you're joyful in the Lord so that it just comes out of you and the kids see that? Or are you just going in because it's a responsibility that you signed up for? You want to make sure your position gets filled. I'm thankful. There's a lot of the Awana workers in this church are awesome, and we got Awana starting up. We got a great group of teachers, and I know Karen Johnson's a wonderful kids teacher. Oh, she's back there. Nursery is going on now. Nursery workers, the Codiers are very involved pretty much every week. They're there. That's so important, even in nursery, isn't it? Yeah. Yep. We're going to go to the next picture, I think. Is it the mug shot? I can't remember. Yes. Anybody know who this guy is? Okay. Two of you. His name is Brian Hugh Warner. Anybody ever heard of him? Okay. Maybe you might recognize him in the next clip. Anybody recognize him? Nobody knows who he is? Okay, now another person recognizes him. His name is Marilyn Manson. Remember that name from 15, 20 years ago? I asked the first service, how would you like to have this guy show up and take your teenage daughter out on a date on Friday night? I don't think so. Marilyn Manson, the original name was Brian Hugh Warner, went to a Christian school as a little guy. He changed his name, Marilyn Manson. He took Marilyn Monroe and Charles Manson, first and last, brought together Marilyn Manson, sick man, influenced by Satanism heavily, rock star singer, in case you didn't know that. He had a bunch of quotes. If you go Google him, be very careful. He says this. I don't know if anyone has really understood what we're trying to do to lure people in. But once we got them, we can give them our message. Listen to this one. He says, if somebody kills themselves because of our music, then that's one less stupid person in the world. Raise your kids better, or I'll be raising them for you. He said that. Think it's important to train our kids in the ways of the Bible so they can know the differences between right and wrong. This guy is pretty obviously messed up. And the kids are going to say, he looks like an idiot. And they're probably not going to listen to him. But they might listen to some other person, another singer, another author, another TV show that just slides a little bit of evil stuff in there. And they might not know the difference. But they will if they know the Bible. Right? Let me give you another example. Kids are like sponges. They're like sponges. If you Don't teach your children, or apply it to the church here too, if we don't teach our children, according to the Bible, someone or something else will, contrary to it. You can't just sit back and say, I'm going to let my kids decide for themselves. That's about the dumbest thing you could ever say. Because they're going to learn something, and they're going to follow something or somebody, and they will. We have to teach them the Bible. We have to teach them the Word of God. Back in the 15th century, there's a sailor, an explorer named Stephen, and he was on his way home to Italy from Algeria. And on the way, he finds a man. He's on the beach. There's a man is dying. And he was a missionary. This man was a missionary to the Muslims. And the Muslims had beaten him and left him on the beach to die. Stephen took the dying missionary with him on his ship. On their journey back to Italy, the missionary requested that he be taken outside to the deck. Stephen granted the dying man's request. The missionary looked up to sky and pointed he pointed westward. He told Stephen that there was a continent in the west where men needed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And shortly after, the missionary died. Stephen arrived home in Italy, and he was profoundly moved by the faith and the tenacity of this missionary. He told the story to his children and to their children, and he instilled in them a fire to spread the gospel in the mysterious land of the West. And they called this land the West Indies. When Stephen passed on the missionary's prophetic word from God, it touched the heart of his grandson, Christopher, who we know as Christopher Columbus. It is so important as Christians to pass on a godly heritage to our children. This is God's plan for touching lives, for moving men, for impacting governments and changing nations. What providence of God is shown in this little story of a missionary told this story to this man named Stephen, and Stephen passed on this desire of this missionary that there's people in some land way across the ocean we can't even see. People need to hear about Jesus Christ and his love. It was passed on to the Columbus family. Christopher Columbus had the vision, courage, and faith to be a part of God's story to move Christianity to America. But that's not the cool part. Listen to this. This is what Christopher Columbus says. He says, at this time I have seen and put in study to look into all the scriptures which our Lord opened to my understanding. I could sense his hand upon me. It became clear to me that it was possible to navigate from here to the West Indies. And he gave me the will to execute that idea. Here we go. I have already said that for the execution of this enterprise or this trip to the Indies, neither reason nor mathematics nor world maps were profitable to me. Now here's a famous explorer who, back in that time, they assumed this guy is going to fall off the side of the earth, right? Christopher Columbus. He says maps, mathematics, reasoning, they weren't profitable to me for this trip. Rather, the prophecy of Isaiah was completely fulfilled. What's he referring to? Isaiah 40:22. Here is the verse. It says, Isaiah 40:22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Christopher Columbus ventured out across the ocean based completely upon that verse in the Bible. He said the world has to be round. It's a circle. Isn't that awesome? What a great story. Huge contrast from Marilyn Manson to Christopher Columbus. Pass on this godly heritage. What I'd like to do now, we're going to pray. I'd like the VBS workers to stand up, please. VBS workers, we're going to pray for you this week. look around and see these people, and throughout the week, think of them and pray for them. This is important. We don't know how many kids we're going to have. We'd like to have a ton, but we don't know. So we'll see. Whoever we have, that's who the Lord brings in. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for these people who have dedicated time this week to serve you, to be faithful to the calling to minister to children. Lord, help us to be faithful this week to pray for them. Lord, guide their words this week. Help us to minister and be sensitive to them, Lord, and be driven by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.